name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today we celebrate the Feast of Pentecost, and this day is also referred to as Trinity Sunday. And the reason for that is because on this day we celebrate the full revelation of the Holy Spirit. The Father was revealed in the Old Testament, the Son was fully revealed in the Incarnation, and the Holy Spirit was fully revealed on the day of Pentecost. So the Trinity in this event was fully revealed. Of course, the Son and the Holy Spirit were both revealed to some extent in the Old Testament, as was the Trinity. We could go through the entirety of Scripture and talk about all the references we have to the doctrine of the Trinity, but that would take quite a bit of time. Detractors of Christianity very often point to the doctrine of the Trinity and argue that the doctrine of the Trinity is nonsense, and so therefore Christianity is nonsense. We say that God is one, there are three persons, so how can three be one? The fact is, the doctrine of the Trinity is not something that we can fully comprehend, but we can understand aspects of it because they've been revealed to us. So there's things about it that we know, and there are things about it that we don't know. Just recently, I finally broke down and got myself a smartphone. I usually try to stay a few years behind the curve technologically, but eventually I have to upgrade to those things to keep up with everybody else. So I don't even know how the smartphone works, but most of us don't know, how to make it work, but most of us don't really understand how it works. We couldn't explain why it is we rub our finger across the screen and then the phone knows what to do, or how it is that, or even just a cell phone, when we're driving down the highway, our call gets transferred from one cell tower to the next, and usually the call doesn't drop. We couldn't explain all those things. And yet we wouldn't say, well, that smartphone's a bunch of nonsense because it doesn't make any sense to me. I don't understand it, so therefore it's not a real thing. Of course, when we talk about a smartphone, we could find somebody who could explain all the various aspects of it, although I doubt there's probably any single human being that could explain perfectly every aspect of how those things work. But imagine how much higher God is from us. And so if we have a hard time understanding things that people can create, that the mind of man can envision, imagine how much higher God is than all of that. The Scriptures make clear to us that God is one. The most important verse in that respect is Deuteronomy 6:4, where it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." And then we have 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 22, that says, "Wherefore thou art great, O God, for there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears." So we know that there's only one God, and that God is one. There's not three gods out there, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that are distinct gods that are like one another. There's only one God. And yet, throughout the Scriptures, we also see that there's a distinction between the Father, and a distinction between the Son, and a distinction between the Holy Spirit. We say that the Trinity is one in essence, but three in persons. That's the English translation, but sometimes when we talk about persons, people misunderstand that, because when we talk about a person, we think about an individual who's not really connected with anyone else. But we shouldn't think of the Trinity as three people who happen to be closely akin to one another or happen to hang out together. We're talking about one being that has three distinct personalities. The Greek word that you hear in the services for person is apostasis, and the plural is hypostases. I very often hear people, when they're reading the services, trip over those two words. But apostasis is a singular person, hypostases is plural. So we talk about three hypostases, but one hypostasis of any particular person of the Trinity. And that may sound very confusing, but like I said, there are things about the Trinity that we know. And we know that there is this distinction, because we read about how the Father and the Son interact to some extent, but the full extent of that is not revealed to us. We know that the Son is the only begotten of the Father. We know that the Spirit proceeds from the Father. The Saint John of Damascus says exactly what the distinction is between being begotten or proceeding. We can't say. We just know that that's what's been revealed to us in Scripture. But they are one. They're distinct, and they're distinct qualities. The Father has the attributes of fatherhood. The Son has the attributes of sonship. And the Son also became incarnate, so He's united to our human nature as well. And the Holy Spirit is the power of sanctification. So each one has a distinction, but they're all part of one being. St. Cyril uses an analogy that I think probably helps us to understand this as good as anything. No analogy is perfect, but I think this is about the best one that I ran across. He says, "Do you see in the heavens the brilliant sphere of the sun, and how from it light is begotten and warmth proceeds? God the Father is like the sphere of the sun, without beginning or end. From him is eternally begotten God the Son, like the light from the sun. Just as there comes warmth together with the light from the sun, the Holy Spirit proceeds. Each one is distinguished separately, the sphere of the sun and the light and the warmth. These are not three suns, but one sun in the heavens. So also in the Holy Trinity there are three persons, but God is one and indivisible." You find that in the book, The Law of God. And I should just remind you, one of the reasons why I wanted to talk about this is because we're often asked, well, what is a doctrine of the Trinity? And I think if most of us were asked that question, we would probably stammer and not even know where to begin. But we need to be familiar enough with our faith to where we can give an answer. We may not be great theologians, but we should at least understand the basics of our faith. And so I would encourage all of you, if you don't have a copy of The Law of God, to get your hands on a copy and to read it, because there are wonderful things in it. It was written for high school age children for a Russian school by the priest who put it all together. But it's something that anyone can benefit from, and particularly your children, but also yourself. And so you should familiarize yourself with its contents. There are many other books as well. But St. Peter says we should always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for a reason for hope that is in you. So we need to study our faith. We need to understand it. We need to be prepared to explain it as best as we can, but also to understand that there are things beyond us. And it's not irrational that there are things beyond us, because we are finite beings. And certainly the creator of the universe is on a whole different plane than us. And so it's not hard to comprehend the fact that he's beyond our comprehension. Amen.